And who I say I am. Because sometimes my own vision about myself gets misconstrued. But I am who God says I am. And if I've been baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost, I know I'm the righteousness of God Almighty. And all my sins are washed away. And have a hope for glory. But until I get to glory, I'm going to walk in victory here, right here on earth. I'm going to walk in power right here on earth. I'm going to walk with the joy of the Lord right here on earth. I will be more than a conqueror right here on earth. Hallelujah. Because God before me, who can be against me? I love living for Him. I love serving Him. I love honoring His name. The Lord has directed me to continue on the topic of defying the odds. So this will be Defy the Odds Part 2. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23. And we are going to dive in at verse 8. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 8. Praise the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Hoite, one of the 33 mighty men of David when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. And there was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he, speaking of Shammah, stood in the middle of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men break through the hosts of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Father, in the name of Jesus, I feel very strongly in my heart that you want to continually equip us to walk, oh God, and stand where others go away. That you allow us, oh God, to be warriors when others seemingly cannot find the strength to be warriors. To help us, oh God, to be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. To help us know, oh God, there's always more with us than there are with them. As we continue, oh God, to move into this new year, we still need you to continue to deal with our hearts, to be progressive-minded people, and to fight battles that we will have victory through you. I'm not fighting them for myself, but I'm fighting, oh God, that others can be blessed by what my sacrifices have been. So help us, oh God, to sacrifice. Help us, oh God, to think more about, oh God, others than we even do about ourselves. In doing so, I know you're going to take care of us. I pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Let the church say amen. Amen. Clap your hands as you are seated unto the Lord. There are 600 mighty men of David total that stood with him when he was in distress and when he ran away from King Saul. David was someone who had no desire to harm his king or his authority, so he thought it better to flee away and to hide himself, trusting that God had anointed him and that God would position him to where God said he would be so long as he kept his mind set and his attitude correctly. I want to say that this year is going to be a year about defying odds. Talked about this a few weeks ago, that it's a year for us to continue to step out in faith, to be people that are those that walk in courage and believe that every chain in our life this year is going to be broken. Breaking cycles, stepping into new places because of a desire that is within us that things around us will rise forevermore. I spoke about it 2 weeks ago that when I mean arise, it is a verb that says I will move from a lower position to a higher one. I am going to come and I am going to go up. Every year should be a year that says when I show up, I'm also going to go up. That I am going to be somebody that whatever plateau that I'm in right now, I am going to go higher. It means from to get up. From lying, from sitting down, or from kneeling, to be restored to life. There are many people here that have gone through so much life. Life is a chore to you. Life is a burden to you. But I want to tell you that this would be a year that we would defy all those odds and say, whatever I'm dealing with, this will be the greatest year I have ever had in the Lord. Number two is I will cease to be submissive. I will cease to be obedient. I will cease to be peaceful in the context of allowing negative things to dictate my life and stop me from having the joy of the Lord. I'm saying this out loud to teach you how you have to speak in the middle of all of your trouble. You have to say, God forbid, this would be a year that I have a frown on my face morning, noon, and night. No, this will be the year where I say the joy of the Lord is all over me. This will be a year that I defy the odds of my circumstances and I will rise and I will bless the Lord. I will praise the Lord and I will progress in the things of God Almighty. And everyone around me will be affected. I'm repeating some things because this is part two. And I want to stir you to remembrance again of what we are saying that God is going to do. It's a place where I choose to rise up from obscurity and I will climb mountains in the name of Jesus. That this year will be a year where mountains will be removed. This will be a year that barriers are going to be removed. This is a year of fire will be shut up in my bone, but I won't keep it there. I will release it because things have already been building. What am I saying? Everything I've already been through to get me to this point is only propelling me to still say I'm going to go where God wants me to go. What am I saying? Everything that I've been through is not in vain. Everything I struggle with is not in vain. There's a purpose to all the pain that I've dealt with. Sometimes you got to get that mentality and say, hey, everything I didn't go through wasn't for a waste of time, for a waste of moment. I'm
I'm going to take that to you to catapult me to where God wants to take me. God forbid everything I went through, everything I had trials in, and I'm stuck in that place. The devil is a liar. Everything I went through, I will be stronger. I will be greater. I will come up higher by the power of the name of the Lord. What point is it to go through hell and high water and stay there? If I'm going to go through a boiling situation, I'm going to come up higher and rejoice in what God has brought me from. If God has brought me through all this, I'm ready to just cut loose and say, devil, I'm still here. Oh, my God. I almost lost my mind. I lost so much. And yet, I'm still here. What is God about to do? What's a God is about to stir up in my soul? What is God still about to perform in my life? And so there's a mentality that I'm seeing here in Scripture, and God won't release me from it. He says, come on, stay with it. And again, we find our text is David at the end of his life, and he goes back and he says, I got to review how I got here. Here I am. I'm about to pass the mantle over to Solomon. We'll hear more about that next week. But he's there, and he's seeing how God has blessed him, how God has kept him, how God has forgiven him, and how God has put him in a place where he said, I'm making a covenant with you. And guess what? The Messiah is coming through your lineage. The Messiah is coming through your seed. And as David is lying there at a very old age, he says, let me tell you about the mighty men that walk with me, because I didn't get where I am by myself. And so it's a natural thing, and it's a very important thing that you take time to highlight the people that were instrumental in getting you to the place that you end up in. You can cry and complain about a lot of things that aren't going well, but what about the things that are going right? There's somebody you should shake their hand and say, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your worship. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for stepping in when I wasn't there. And God is saying, yeah, honor those that have been there in your life. So David, mighty men, they were identified as 600 men that stood by him until the end of his life, with the exception of Joab, who did not stay loyal to David. Again, we're going to hear more about that next week. Part 3 is next week. And he was not loyal to David's son, the heir, Solomon. But before David became king, these men fought alongside David, and they stood alongside David. They helped David while David was on the run. They fought with David, and they got their stuff back from the Amalekites, because they said, I'm going to go where my leader is going. And if David encouraged himself, I might not be feeling up to par, but I have a leader that I can look to. I pray that me and my wife will be leaders to you, that we will encourage ourselves and say, I know you lost some stuff, but stay with us. God is about to restore. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. God is still going to restore some things that you have lost. I know that you have some things stolen from you, but stick with us. We've been praying, and we've encouraged ourselves in the Lord, and we've already got a word from God. And if we got a word from God, get connected to what we're connected to and watch things change in your life, and your home gets restored again, and your mind gets restored again, and your health and your finances gets restored again. I believe that with all my heart. So they joined up with David, and they fought with him. They were with David after Absalom, his other son, came and kicked him out of his own kingdom. But the mighty man fought back to say, no, David, it's not the will of God for you to remove yourself from this seat of authority. And so I know we're older, but I don't care how old we are still going to fight. I need my elderly saints to understand that there's still a fight inside of your spirit. I'm reminded about Caleb, who was 84 something years old. He says, I'm stronger now than I've ever been before. I know some of you have been waiting on God. Let me tell you, I hope all this time was time that you put your mind on. I've been getting stronger the whole time. My prayer has not been answered yet, but I haven't gotten weaker. My faith has gotten stronger. I'm getting a little bit closer to my destiny. I'm getting a little bit closer to the blessings that God has already promised me. But what they all had in common was that they were all there, but then there were still 30 that were extra special. We hit on one a few weeks ago in the life of Benaiah. But then even outside the 30, there were a special 3 that did some extra special things, extra great things that separated them from the other 30 and even the 600. In the mind of David. Again, this is David's point of view. And David says there's something about being uncommon when everything else around you is common. Most people, even in church, are common. Most people just do the average, just do just enough to get by, and they are still counted. I'm not speaking in a negative manner. They are still counted among the congregation. They're still counted among the mighty men of God, because if you are here in an apostolic church, let me tell you, that's more than what the majority of the world is doing. So I don't speak this in a negative connotation whatsoever, but what I am saying is even among the greats, there are some that do a little bit more to stand out. But let me be clear when I say stand out. When I say stand out, I don't mean that you're somebody who tries to manipulate things, try to step on others to move ahead, try to promote or exalt yourself, because that's not lining up with the word of God. But what I do mean is what David saw. David saw an enemy constantly bullying the children of God. Or what David saw was that there were people who realized the enemy's always coming in to deal and hurt the common people. And what David saw is that there were a few men that stood out, not because they were trying to have self-promotion or self-exaltation, but there was something on the inside of them that says, when others won't stand, I will be somebody that will stand. When others won't fight, you will watch me fighting. When others don't have the strength to do more, you will find me doing more. And so this message may not be for everybody here. That's why the message defies the odds. The odds say the majority of people will live the same old cycle they did a year before, but there has to be a few people that are numbered that say, that won't be me. This is my year to defy the odds. You're right hearing what I'm saying? This is my year to be different.
Jonathan said, I see a garrison of the enemy. The context is about what the enemy is doing, and there are a few that sees what the enemy is doing. Jonathan got up and he only had his armor bearer, and the enemy, he said, the enemy is just a little bit too close to my territory. There are some people who only fight in the things of God when their whole world is being turned upside down. And I hate to be in that place. I want to be somebody like Jonathan that says the enemy is not even attacking yet, but he's getting too close to my territory. He's getting too close to my mind. He's getting too close to my spirit. And so I'm going to start giving a preemptive attack. I know I'm outnumbered, but you know what? God can save by few, and he also can save by many. That's why don't you ever get confused about the population that shows up here in this house. There's always more, so long we got Jesus in the house, because Jesus is bigger than what I see in this place. Jesus is stronger than what's going on in my natural world. And so Jonathan said, I won't sit back and watch the enemy set up camp. God, I tell you, no, the devil is a liar. You ain't gonna set camp anywhere near my home, my family, my church. You're not going to set up camp here. And so they fought. And so Jonathan stood out. Joshua and Caleb said, I know there are giants in the land. I know there are walled cities. And I know the majority. And most people say, there's no way we can fight. But Jonathan and now Joshua and Caleb says, God, believe we are going to fight. We will defy the odds. And we will stand up. Is there anybody this year that says, this is my year, I'm going to stand up. I will defy the odds. I'm going to possess a home that God wants me to possess. I'm going to possess a ministry that God wants me to possess. I'm going to possess a fire that God wants me to possess. I'm going to possess everything that God wants for me. I'm going to possess it all. Even when others won't. Standing out is not self-promotion. It's standing up and doing what's right when others will not. I can't live my life dependent upon what someone else does or doesn't do.
You can't let your life and your momentum and your joy and your passion be built upon what others would do. If that was the case, we would not have the majority of the men of God in the Word of God. We wouldn't have a Joshua and Caleb. What we're seeing in the Word of God is a majority of time the people that step up and get blessings from God. When I watch this, how many wants the blessings of God? How many want the favors of God? How many wants to do great exploits for God? Well, let me tell you that most likely you have the defy the odds. Joshua and Caleb had to defy the odds. 10 other people said, there's no way, it won't happen. You're going to go through the same thing you've always been through. And he said, no, I defy those odds. Whatever it takes, I'm not going back to Egypt. Whatever it takes, I'm not going back to my old lifestyle. Whatever it takes, I'm not going back to my old ways. If I got to fight with just me and Caleb, me and Joshua, then so be it. But God forbid I'm going back to my old beat down lifestyle. I'm going to go higher and possess the greater things that God has in store for me. I choose to move forward and not backwards. I will defy the odds. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Standing out is defying the odds and taking a stand against the enemy and his plans when no one else will. Defying the odds is saying, I'll show up and I'll pray and I will seek the face of God even when no one else will. I will be somebody that engages even though others may not engage. I will be someone that will be faithful even though the majority may not be faithful. I don't care what the majority does. I've always been in my minority when it comes to seeking the face of God. I am always going to be the minority. I will always defy the odds. You gotta have that mentality. So we get to Adino, the first of David's mightiest men, the first of 600. So I said, well, if David paid attention to the life of this man Adino, then maybe I should try as a man of God, and you as a person of God should also take note of what is it about those that even others in Scripture will say there's something about that person. You're going to have that. You're going to have that. That people look at you and say, there's something about them. There's something that they have. There's something I recognize. And what I see here, it says, the Bible says, Adino, he killed 800 men. And that's quite a feat. But it's not always what you do that is the impressive thing. Sometimes it's how you do it. There are a lot of people that win something, but a lot of times it's sloppy or half-hearted. It's like they accidentally won. I mean, they got over their mountain, but the whole time of their journey, they complained and murmured against God. The Israelites ultimately got over to the other side, but there was probably something inside of them that said, why did I murmur and complain so much when I see what God was able to do? And right now, God is telling somebody, you're not over every situation you're going through, but you're not fighting right. You're not winning the battle the correct way. Yes, ultimately, you're going to have the victory, but the whole time that I was taking you through, you were frustrated, you were angry, you were hateful, you were deceitful, and you are winning ugly. Yes, God will bring the victory, but then you're going to go back and look and say, man, my faith was so weak. And God is saying, it's not just about winning, but how about this is a season about how you win, that in the middle of the struggle, you're still consecrated to him. In the middle of the fight, you're not speaking words of negativity. In the middle of your battle, that God says, I'm already going to give you the victory. And most times, you're crying, you're complaining, you're murmuring, and then God gives you victory, and you're like, oh, I guess I'll praise God. But is there anybody that says, in the middle of my darkest hour, I'm still go give him glory? In the middle of my battle, I'm still going to open my mouth and praise him. I'm tired of winning badly. I want to win right. If God go make a way, how about I praise him before the battle's ever won? Oh, come on, somebody. If I know that I know that I know that God go bring me out, how about I praise him in the middle of the fight rather than waiting on when the victory is mine? I say victory right now is mine. I say before this church is ever turning the city upside down, I'm already thankful for what he's already done. Hallelujah. In this house, I'm gonna win the right way.
Has anybody ever had where maybe it was your birthday or you've seen the story where it's somebody's birthday, but everybody acts like they forgot? And there's literally a surprise party awaiting, but no, that person doesn't know it. And they're giving out hints, but yet they're getting angry because no one's giving in to the hints. Am I talking real right now? And they're frustrated and they're angry and they're getting sly and smart. And how come people are not paying attention to what I'm going through right now? It's my birthday, it's my special day, and nobody cares. You kind of see what I'm saying right now. And then you know what? They show up to a secret place, you know, and they go somewhere and the lights come on. And all of a sudden, surprise! And guess what? You got the victory, but your journey to that was ugly. And you're excited about the birthday party and the people that love you, but you think about how mean you were and how bad you were and how much attitude you had. And so, yes, you can defeat a whole bunch of stuff, but how you do it is just as important as the victory. And so until we get to where God wants us to go, I'm going to hold on to my weapon and I'm going to fight with a smile on my face, because God forbid I get to a place where I get the victory, but I'm so ashamed of what I had to be like in the middle of my trial. No, I say when I get to my victory, I'm going to say, God, I know I probably had some hiccups, but God, you know I trusted in you. I believed on you. I kept a right spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That ain't for everybody. You got to defy some odds and say, that's how I'm going to be. I'm going to be somebody that has a different mindset when I'm fighting these battles.
Jacob received the birthright, but his brother wanted to kill him. So yeah, Jacob, you won. But now you got to leave your family for 21 years. And in the middle of that, you married an ugly woman. And you end up with two handmaids. And the wife you love couldn't even get pregnant. So you won, but look what extra stuff you brought on yourself because you weren't fighting right. You got to fight right this year. You got to battle right this year. And so what we find is that, yes, it was impressive that he killed the 800 men, but how did he do it? The Bible says he lifted up his spear against them. He saw the odds. He saw that in the natural, there was no way to victory considering the odds. Considering the odds, I think I'm going to stay this one out. Considering the odds, I'm going to stay exactly where I am. I'm not going to cause any trouble. I'm not going to cause any waves because I'm outnumbered. But you know what he did? Brother Wheeler, you gave me a spear before and I lost it. Or somebody did. I lost it. I wish I had it now. He got that spear and he said, I'm not going to keep it down here. There's some things that God has equipped you with and you keep holding it down here. There's some favor that God has given to you, but you keep on keeping it down here. You keep on hiding. You keep on being passive with it. You're not raising it up. And God is saying, well, you need to notice what Adino did. Well, whatever he had in his hand, whatever tool that he had, I'm not going to keep it hidden. I'm going to raise it up. And I'm going to let the enemy know, here I am. Come on. It's okay to get the attention of your enemy. I know others are not staying around. I know I don't have very much. But what I do have, I'm going to beat it with you. If all I got is a hallelujah, then start using your hallelujah like you have never used your hallelujah before. If all you have is a thank you, Jesus, then you should be the one saying thank you, Jesus, like you have lost your mind. I already know you're outnumbered. I already know things are stacked against you. That's the obvious. But what's not obvious is who will rise up and defy the odds and say, I know I'm looking like I'm by myself, but if I got God on my side, I'm going to raise up my spear. I'm going to raise up my voice and I'm going to go to battle. Is there anybody here this year? You're ready to go to battle. You're ready to raise up whatever's in your head and say, I shall have the victory. Come on, clap your hands right now. I want the Holy Ghost to sink in. I don't want to just preach just to preach. I want to grab a hold of every individual. Raise your hand right now and say, Lord, let me fight like I never fought before. Let me defy odds like I never have before. And then what it said, not only did he kill 800 men, he rose up. He lifted. You're going to rise above your odds.
But then this is what he said that I'm feeling so strong. The Bible says that he did all this, but he did it in one setting. Sometimes we think that we only have to just keep taking a healthy dose of the Word of God, and then eventually all my problems will be okay. I mean, my mindset is, you know what? By December, it's all going to come together. So I'll take a little bit in January. I take a little bit in February. I'll take a little here at men's conference, women's conference, youth camp, youth convention. I'll take a little bit here at that special revival we're going to have. And hopefully that when it's all said and done, I come to be made whole at some certain point. That my expectations are never in that one moment. Everything is going to be taken care of. Because who wants to come and live that way and be disappointed? But guess what? If you don't risk it all, you don't gain it all. And so Dino says, I know there's 800 people here. And maybe I can just kill 100 at a time, pace myself a little hallelujah here, a little altar there, a little giving there, and hopefully it works itself out. Adino said, not today. He said, today I'm going to kill every single one of my enemies. Was it in your mindset? Was it in your faith? Was it in my faith today that this is the day for my victory? I came in with a whole bunch of problems, a whole bunch of burdens, and I thought maybe one or two would get dealt with. And I would leave rejoicing. God is saying, this year, defy the odds. This year, every service you say, I'm coming out fully well. I'm coming out fully whole. Hallelujah. I'm coming out better than I ever came in. I want to tell somebody with all the power I have to preach, this is your year to kill all your enemies in one day, in one setting, in one moment, in one altar call, in one prayer meeting. God can fix every part of your life. If you believe that, raise your hand right now unto the Lord. I'm tired of this pacing myself for what God can do in one moment. I'm tired of my low expectations of what God can do because of my failure to get intentional. I try to put it on God. I can make it sound like it's God's fault. I can make it sound like it's God holding back his power, his love. I can easily manipulate scripture and just say, well, you know, it's all right. As long as we're here, it's okay. We don't need everything fixed. Why we got to try so hard? We don't got to possess everything right now. And why did he stand out then? Is my question. If I'm reading scripture, why was there 600 people? But what was it about Adina that says he stood out? Well, I'm looking at it, and here what I see the differences are. I'm going to get a hold of 800 people with every limitation that I have. See, I'm limited. It would be nice to have a machine gun against 800 people. It would be nice to have certain things we want in our church, right? It'd be nice to have more ministries and more people, more money. All those things would be nice. But I can't wait till everything is in order to believe that God can do it now. I have to believe that God can do it now. I have to believe that God can work now. I have to believe that God can heal now. I have to believe that God can deliver now. That God can set free now. That God can turn around now. If I believe that God can do it now, then God had more chance to do it because God loves to defy the odds. So what is blocking you? Say, fine, I defy him in the name of the Lord. I already feel I'm preaching too long. I got so much to say. The interesting about the scripture here, if I look at it, it says in verse 9 that we know that Adino, he slayed him at one time, and then Eleazar came, and he was also one of the mighty. But what happened here is that he had a whole bunch of his buddies with him. If you can get up 2 Samuel 23 and 9, he had people with him. And it's always more comfortable to fight when you're not fighting by yourself. Are you with me? I'd rather fight with somebody with me. I'm glad my wife and my family are with me. It's easier to fight knowing I have somebody that's with me. We have a church that's where we're together, are we not? It's easier to come to the house of God and we're here worshiping together. That's great. Yeah. David, when, and there's that word, they defied the Philistines. That word also means to taunt the enemy. Man, it was always cool to taunt people so long as I had my big friend with me or my brother with me. I can get away with a lot of stuff, and I had Jason with me and Israel and Renee. We could talk a whole bunch of, you know, whatever, because we were together. But what I found out here is that in the middle of their taunting, now, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, that it's time to taunt your enemy. Come on. Come on. It's time to talk to your enemy and say, what you used to do to me, you're not doing anymore. You start to get more emboldened and more empowered of what God is doing. Something has to be stirring on the inside of you, because you know that you got others fighting alongside with you. It's all right to talk smack against your enemy. It is okay. But at the same time, there might be times when pastor is saying great, crazy stuff against the enemy. But in the middle of all that defying of the enemy, it says the men of Israel were gone away. Everybody's not standing with you right now. Everybody's not pushing. Everybody's not praying. Everybody's not fasting. Everybody's not faithful. Everybody's not dedicated. Everybody's not intentional on seeing revival. And maybe attendance goes down. Maybe people backslide. And the easiest thing to do is just to put it on cruise control and say, maybe this is not the right time to press for change and for revival. Let's press and pray and fast when there are more people engaged, when more people are a part of it. But there's no way we can really do it when the numbers are few. And maybe not just as a corporate church, but maybe in your home, you feel like that your army has gone away. You feel like things that you were secure in are not with you anymore. So this is the worst time to press. That's what the devil tells you. That this is the perfect time, because everyone will excuse you. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? They will look at your life and say, brother, I'm praying for you. I get it. Just take it easy. There will come a time when momentum will come. And at that point in time, then give it all you got. You won't be counted among the few. And Eleazar said, I don't care who leaves. I don't care who stays or who doesn't. But at that moment, when other of the men of Israel were gone away, he rose and he smote the Philistines, verse 10, until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. There was something that got a hold of Eleazar. Praise God. I got to use a pretty lousy example, but I got to use something to make sure I'm grabbing your attention. He said, I refuse to let go. I'm fighting all by myself. And so if I'm fighting all by myself, this is the time I have to hold on that much harder. The devil tells you you're by yourself. Loosen your grip. Loosen your prayer. Loosen your faithfulness. I say defy the enemy and say no. This is the time I gotta hold on like I never held on before. This is the time where I cleave to the word of God more than I ever have before. Defy the odds and tell the devil, you are a liar. This is my season to hold on to God like I never have before. Because I'm fighting by myself, I can't let go. Because if I let go, I let go of the victory. But I'm refusing to let go of the victory. And I'm fighting so hard, this thing is stuck in my hands. I play the drums, and there have been times where I'm clenching the drums so hard, and I'm playing, and I'm working my muscles so hard. There are some times I have to literally kind of do this, because you form such a heavy grip. Maybe Brother Wheeler knows what I'm talking about in his hand work, or you brothers that work with your hands. There are opportunities even in the natural where your hand can cleave to something, but I'm talking about in the spiritual. Will this be a year where you give up? Will this be a year where you throw in the towel? Will this be a year that you say it's too hard? Will this be here that says, well, everybody else ran away? Or will this be here to say, I know the majority will always leave, but not me. I defy the odds in the name of the Lord. I will hold on like I never held on a prayer before. I will hold on to worship like I never have before. I will hold on to God like I never have before. And I will slay the enemies in my life. It's time to cleave this year to a change like never before. And don't let go until his hand was weary. I'm tired, but I'm not letting go. I'm weary, but I'm not letting go. I'm tired, but I'm not letting go. Someone lift your hands right now and maybe just whisper, I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. Atalamaya. There'll be times when you're going to fight all by yourself this year. I'm preparing you in advance of how you have the tools to keep on fighting and hold on and don't let go. Hold on and don't stop, because there's a victory, and God somehow, some way, will do the impossible and undergird you and give you the strength you need in order to win in that battle. Let's pray right now. I feel just a pause here for a moment. Just begin to open up your mouth right now and think about what you know is trying to stop you. Think about all the things, maybe your health, maybe your finances, maybe your family situation, maybe it's just fears and worries you have. It's just things that you see that are blocking your life. But I want you to make up in your mind that you're not letting go. I want you to make up in your mind you're ready to defy every odd. You're ready to go to battle. You're ready to just dig in like you never have before. Your mind is made up. You got to say, I'm consecrating myself right now. I'm making up in my mind right now, as hard as it might get. And many people that might leave in my life that stood with me at one time, I choose to cling to the fight and every weapon that God has given to me. I'm going to be a winner. I don't care how long it takes. I'm cleaving. I'm cleaving. I'm cleaving. I barely can breathe. I'm out of breath, but I'm cleaving. I barely can even think straight, but I'm cleaving. I'm cleaving. I'm cleaving to what God's told me. God called me to protect David. God called me to help lead. God called me to help lead my home, my children. God's called me to be a light to somebody. And there are times, many times, even the majority of time, I'm so tired. I'm so weary. I don't know when the battle's going to end. Oh, but I refuse to let go of what God has put in my hand. I will cleave to it. I will cleave to prayer. Come on. That's where we're moving right now. I'm done. I'm not going to finish the message. I want to stir somebody to a heart of prayer that says, I will cleave to prayer for my children. I will cleave to prayer for my future. I will cleave to prayer and a worship until God works it out. I know I'm tired, but I'm not letting go of what God has put in my hand. And God has put people in my opportunity to minister to them. I won't let go. I'll keep on praying for them. I'll keep on fasting. I'll do whatever it takes until victory is mine. Brother Haddock, you can play something softly. Don't let go, saint of God. Don't let go, saint of God. And how you fight matters. How you fight matters. It's not just your fighting, it's how you fight. You have to pray more this year. You have to pray more this year. You have to get alone in your closet and pray this year. You cannot go through what you're going to go through without prayer. You're not going to grow without prayer. You're not going to have the strength without prayer. You're not going to have mountains move without prayer. So pray right now. Cleave to God's word right now. Stay hungry and say, God, I really need you this year. I really need you this year.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you.
You are here.
Defy the odds. Defy the odds. I'd say you'll give up by February. I'd say you'll give up by June. I'd say you're back up. I'd say you throw in the towel. I'd say you won't make it. I'd say you're counted out. I'd say you won't last. I say defy those odds. I say fight against those odds. I say stand against those odds. Cleave. Fight. Lift up your spear. Call on the name of the Lord. I'd say you're a loser. The odds say you never win. The odds say you'll always be what you've always been. I say defy the odds. I say defy them through prayer. I say defy them through worship. I say defy them through consecration. Consecrate. Dedicate. Watch God work with you. Hold on to your sword. Hold on to your spear. Hold on to the word of God.
Thank you.
Your work.